But anyway, we're going to continue the series today, Kingdom of Heaven. And we're going to be looking again in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. We're going to look at the parables of the mustard seed and of the yeast or leaven. And I feel like these two parables really go together. And I feel like they play off of the parable that we looked at last week, which was the parable of the soils. And so we looked at how the soils represent our heart. The seed represents the word of God. We looked at how those four different soils, the soil that, or the seed that fell on the path, which was hard, and immediately it had no effect. We looked at the soil that was shallow, and it had a quick effect that brought a lot of joy. But then after that, there was no root, so it withered quickly when trials and struggles came and challenges came. We looked at the thorny soil that the plant would spring up, but it would be choked out by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. And so we saw that. But then we looked at also that fourth soil, which was a heart that was prepared to receive the word of God. And the Bible tells us that it produces a harvest 160 or 30 times, which was sown. And we talked about that hundredfold harvest being really Jesus saying, this is a supernatural harvest. This is something that just doesn't happen, but God gives that kind of increase when our hearts are ready to receive the word of God and we allow him to produce in us what he desires to produce. I feel like these next two parables we're going to look at with the mustard seed and the yeast, that they represent some of what happens when the seed finds good soil, when the word finds a good heart. And the kingdom of God, which is what this is going to be talking about, the kingdom of heaven is then seen to grow. And so I want us to look at this and see what Jesus has to say. We talked about last week a little bit about how the parables are not intended to make the gospel simple, but were actually intended to cause people to seek what the truth in them was, to discover the truth versus it just being told, so that those who weren't interested in the truth and in seeking after Christ, that it wasn't just plain to them, but it required some searching, it required some digging, it required the Lord to reveal to them what these things really mean. And it's the same way for us today as we come to Scripture, that God through his Spirit wants to lead us to truth and give us discoveries of truth that really we would have never had if we, one, didn't have God's word, and two, if Jesus had not come to reveal them to us. And so now we are able to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, as the Bible calls them, things that in the past, in the Old Testament, were not able to be understood, but now through Jesus, these mysteries have been revealed. And God is willing to give us and show us the secrets of the kingdom, which is pretty exciting when you think about being able to understand the things of God to that magnitude. And so let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 through 35, and then we'll pray and get into the message. It says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed or kneaded into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is what we were just talking about. The part about I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. That this is the revealing of the mysteries. This is the revealing of truth to those who are truth seekers. And so today, that's my heart. Let's be truth seekers. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth and to see more of what God has for us, but what God is calling us to in the excitement of knowing that God is growing his kingdom all around us. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you, God, that you do reveal the mysteries of the kingdom, that you do reveal your truth to those who seek after it. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that he is here right now. I thank you for the anointing that is on your word. And God, I thank you that it will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. I pray today, Lord, that we would be again in awe of you, that God, we would be compelled to move closer to you, to press into you, to know you more, God, a desire, a great desire to know you more, a great desire, God, to delight in you, a great desire to delight in your word, Lord, that we, God, could be a part of this kingdom. So, Lord, we love you. Have your way here today. Have your way, God, in our midst. Do what only you can do, Father. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of the things that I guess early on and even sometimes still today that people would say about our church is that we just wanted to be a big church. The church was growing and it was just, you know, it just wants to be a big, we just want it to be a big church, or Brandon just wants to have a mega church, or these, this and that and the other. And so there was a lot of that that went on, and then, you know, it's all about numbers at Connection. That's what it's all about. It's just all about numbers, and we hear those kind of things all the time. And you know, just about growing a big church. Well, here's the thing. When I look at Scripture and I look at these two parables, it seems like Jesus wants to grow the church. It seems like Jesus wants to grow the kingdom. So I guess that accusation is not so bad when the motivation is right. And it is really about numbers. It's about the number one. It's about that one person's heart, the next person's heart who is transformed and comes into the kingdom and begins to have a kingdom impact. It's about one person at a time. And that's a lot of what we see in the parable of the yeast. We see that from the inside out, there is a transformation. We see that in the parable of the mustard seed, that from this small amount, this small seed that is planted in someone's heart and implanted in people's hearts, that together the kingdom begins to grow. And just like that yeast, it begins to work and permeate all the way through this dough. The kingdom of heaven through the church, through God's people, permeates society around us. It permeates the world until the whole world is leavened, or until the whole world is what Habakkuk 2:14 says that we quote all the time, that the whole world is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And so when we look at this, we see very clearly that the kingdom of heaven is growing. Jesus uses this mustard seed, not because it was necessarily the smallest seed that existed on earth, and not because the plant that grows is the tallest. I mean, you think about a redwood, it's taller than this particular plant or bush or tree. But what Jesus is using it for is more of a proverbial use. And it's the very, very small seed. And what he's comparing it to is how great the difference is from the beginning to the end. And he wants us to see that this is how the kingdom operates. This is what is happening around us with the kingdom. It's this great parable about how the mustard seed signifies this kingdom growth from being insignificantly small to this external greatness. The yeast signifies this permeation of the kingdom into the world through the inward transformation of one heart at a time. And it permeates throughout the whole earth. You think about this. Jesus, who himself seemed very insignificant, came from very humble beginnings and had really 12 people he poured his life into for 3 years. And yet this insignificant beginning has led to a transformation of the whole world. so that billions of people have come to faith and have known the life that Jesus gives and the transformation that happens when we give our life to Christ, when we surrender to Him as Lord, when we surrender to Him as the Savior of the world. When we give our hearts to Him, we see this transformation beginning to happen, and it's happened in an incredible way since the time of Christ, where there seem to be such insignificant beginnings. We looked at last week how this seed is planted in our hearts. We looked at this hundredfold harvest. I believe this is what we're talking about. We're seeing this smallest seed, the smallest thing that is planted, and yet it begins to grow, and it's this crazy amount of growth. It's so incredible when contrasted with the seed that it began with. The people in that day thought that the kingdom of God would start from a big, like, impact. The people of that day thought that when the Messiah came, things would just instantly change. And when Jesus begins to tell these parables, he's really causing them to challenge their own worldview. And what Jesus is wanting them to see is that it's not going to be this immediate huge impact where the Messiah, Jesus, the anointed one, the Savior comes and the world is just immediately changed. It's not going to be an external hostile takeover. It's going to be this inward transformation. And that's what we're seeing in these parables. They thought it was going to be something that happened immediately, and they weren't prepared for such an insignificant beginning. Here's the thing I want you to hear in this first. Many people never see the fruitfulness of God in their lives because they won't be faithful with God's instructions in things that seem meaningless. So many people never see the fruitfulness of God in their lives because they won't be faithful with God's instructions in things that seem meaningless. See, faithfulness in what seems to be mundane practices lead to the fulfillment of big promises. This is how the kingdom operates. Jesus even promised that if we will be faithful with a little, that we can be entrusted with more. But so many of us, we won't be faithful with the little, and we don't understand why God doesn't give the more. If we will be faithful with what Jesus puts in front of us today and then tomorrow, and we just trust that as we are walking with God and enjoying the relationship with Jesus, that God is going to give the increase. The Apostle Paul says that he planted, that Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase. And when we trust God to do that, he will do that. But we can't despise this place of just not doing the things that don't seem big, that don't seem glorious, that don't have some huge magnitude immediately, because if we do that, we forsake what God's really called us to. If you look at the yeast, he continues this thought of the parable of the mustard seed in a little bit different way. Here's something that's really cool about this to me. The amount of bread, it was 60 pounds of dough. That's a lot of biscuits. That's a lot of biscuits. It was enough to feed over 100 people. And really, it was almost impractical to need that much dough. And so Jesus again points us to this supernatural effect of what happens when the seed of his word is sown into his people's heart and they begin to produce fruit and transformation begins to happen in people's lives. And just like the yeast begins to permeate that dough from the inside out. It begins to permeate our heart from the inside out. And then the church begins to permeate society and the world from the inside out. And what begins to happen is the world begins to change and the earth begins to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And so when we look at this, Jesus is reversing this common evil of yeast. In the Bible, yeast is oftentimes used in a negative way. It's used to represent the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and all types of different negative ways. But Jesus here is saying, look, I'm telling you this. If you will trust me and you will not grow weary in doing those daily things, in embracing the internal transformation that I have for your life, he's saying that this yeast will work all the way through the dough. He talks about how the yeast of the Pharisees is something that is dangerous. And he even says that it will leaven the entire loaf. It will work its way through the entire loaf. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees will work its way through the entire loaf. But one of the things I've always thought about is if this yeast, this hypocrisy, this evil is able to work itself through the entire loaf, how much more the Holy Spirit is able to work through the entire loaf and bring transformation to us all, and to the church and to the world. Because we know that the Spirit of God who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. So here's another thing I want you to really think about and take hold of. Many people never see the fruitfulness of God in their lives because they do not welcome the inward transformation of God's Spirit and instead settle for the pretense of an easier exterior or external religious system. I'll say it again. Many people never see the fruitfulness of God in their lives because they never welcome the inward transformation of God's Spirit and instead settle for the pretense of an easier external religious system. It's just easier to not have to deal with the challenge of internal transformation and to just go through some external pretense that is just a religious system. But here's the key. If we're willing to embrace the reality of God's internal process, it becomes the pathway to real life change and real kingdom impact. If we'll embrace the reality of God's internal process, it becomes the pathway to real life change and real kingdom impact. The seed changes us from the inside out. And when we, the church, are changed from the inside out, we begin to change the world from the inside out. When you look at the mustard seed and the yeast together, the mustard seed seems small and unimpressive. The yeast seems insignificant and underwhelming in comparison to the huge amount of dough. I mean, think about this. The mustard seed, you don't look at it and go, wow, this is incredible. But when you look at the contrast, it's impressive. You think about the yeast and this huge amount of dough, and you look at this little bit of yeast that's going to be worked into this dough, and it seems underwhelming in comparison to how much dough it has to work its way through. But here's the thing I want you to understand, that within that mustard seed and within that yeast is incredible potential. It's incredible potential. It may not be seen, but it is there. And so many of us do not realize the potential that God has placed in our life to do kingdom works. We look at ourselves and we see something that is very common. And even if we can achieve greatness in the world's eyes, so many times we don't see the potential that God has placed within us to do great kingdom work, not just alone, but as the body of Christ. And when we see this, we need to understand that God has placed within us a great potential. It may begin small, but he wants it to grow. And in contrast from where you begin to where you end up, it's huge. In contrast from a little bit of yeast that's worked into the dough, it's a huge difference. It's a huge transformation. But here's the thing. With the mustard seed and with the yeast, they both must be planted in order to fulfill the potential that God has given it. The seed must be planted into the ground. The yeast must be worked into the dough. So much potential. But if it's never planted, if it's never needed, if it's never placed where the potential can be fulfilled, then it ends up not having the effect that it's intended to have. We talk a lot of times about athletes, right? Who they come out of high school, they come out of college, and maybe they go into the pros, they go into the NFL, the MLB, whatever it might be. Maybe they're drafted number one overall, right? And how many times do we talk about those players who they just never reach their potential? And what do we call them? We call them a bust. Like they're just a bust. They didn't achieve their potential. They never reached the point that everybody thought they could reach, or maybe the point that they could have achieved. Chase and I were actually talking before the service, and he asked me if I'd seen this video of John Daly. How many of you know who John Daly is? The golfer, right? And he said he was running late for a tee time. And says he gets out, golf cart pulls him up to the first tee, and said he sets down 2 packs of cigarettes and 3 Diet Cokes. He gets a cigarette, lights it in his mouth, steps up to the first tee, hasn't warmed up, probably just rolled out of bed, John Daly, not that I know him personally, but just about him, and gets up and just drills the ball. He actually says, the hole's on the left, right? Gets up and drills a golf ball down the fairway. And I think about John Daly, I think about people like that. I see professional athletes, especially in baseball, right? Professional athletes who get millions of dollars, have all of this ability that so many people would give anything to have, and yet they're like 30 pounds overweight. I think about like Jock Peterson. Who knows who Jock Peterson is? Was at the Braves a few years ago. This dude just don't care. He's just talented enough that he can hit 20, 25 home runs, and somebody's willing to pay him $3 or $4 million for those 20 home runs. There's a guy that used to play for the Braves named Troy Gloss. His comment was, I don't really have to get that many hits. I just have to run into 40 a year and hit them out of the park. That's like a crazy outlook on life. But so many of us as Christians, we kind of do the same thing. Think about the potential that would be in John Daly. How good could he be? How good could some of these athletes be if they really invested into the potential that they have? But so many of us are like that with our relationship with God. We are full of potential to have a kingdom impact as part of the body of Christ. And yet we never make an investment into that potential. And it's sad. It's sad that we leave so much potential on the table. See, potential does not automatically equal accomplishment and impact. It doesn't. You can be full of potential, and by the time your life is over, it's just still potential. Potential, listen, potential with no investment of time and energy and want to drifts into eternity with a meaningless existence. Potential with no investment of time, energy, and want to drifts into eternity with a meaningless existence. If we're not planted, if we're not sown, if God's word is not sown into our hearts that are prepared to receive it, then we end up, first of all, never even knowing the Lord. But when we come to know the Lord, the Bible tells us that he has created good works for us to do. We get to be a part of God's kingdom expanding throughout the earth. And God has put so much inside of us that he wants to bring to life and use for his glory, all the while we're enjoying the relationship with him as we do the work of our Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to just give you two things that I believe are critical for us to be planted spiritually, to be planted spiritually. Maybe three. The first one is this. You need to be committed to a body of believers. You need to be committed to a body of believers. You need to figure out where God is leading you and be committed to a body of believers, to the church, to the people of Christ. It's not easy because people are difficult. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get angry. You're going to think things aren't done right. You're going to criticize me. You're going to criticize other people. But I'm telling you this, if God plants you somewhere, you are planted there for a purpose. And we need to get over a lot of the petty things that we complain about and realize that God has a bigger purpose for us in the kingdom. We need to be able to offer people the same grace that we want others to offer us. The second thing is this. There has to be a desire that leads to a decision to delight in God's word. Because to delight in God's word is to delight in God himself. I believe this with all my heart. We cannot be any closer to God than we are to his word. If we are not spending time with God in his word, it is a spiritual impossibility for us to truly be walking with the Lord. We need to come to a place where our desire leads us to a decision, a choice to delight in God's word, to delight ourselves in the Lord. Psalm 1:1-3 talks about this. It talks about, we talked about this last week, to not walk with the wicked or go the way of sinners, to not sit in the seat of mockers, but to delight in the word of God, to delight in his law. And it says that you will be like a tree planted by streams of water, and you'll produce your fruit faithfully in season and out of season without fear of any type of drought, because the roots in your life have grown so deeply into the Lord. But if we do not have a desire that leads to a decision to delight in God's word and to delight in God himself, it's not going to happen. If we are not planted in his word and in his presence and in our relationship with him, the potential that he has given us will not be fulfilled. The last one is this, and this is, I think, really hard for a lot of people. It's a determination to not despise small beginnings. It's a determination to not despise small beginnings. Zechariah 4:10, he's encouraging the people of Israel. He says, "Who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that reigns throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel." He's encouraging them with the temple, and he says, it might look small now, but there's a day that's going to come when that last stone is placed upon this temple, and it's going to be glorious. But so many of us, we look at, and it seems like where we're at right now, it's so small, it feels so insignificant. And yet God says, don't despise the small beginning. When you look at the Bible, you look at this. How many of you look at the Bible and it's just daunting? You look at the pages and you're like, I'll never grasp this. You know how you grasp it? You open it today. And you read it. And you seek truth in it. And then you open it tomorrow. And you read it. And you seek truth and you seek God in it. And then you open it the next day and you read it and you seek truth. And you let the Spirit lead you to the truth. You get in community and people help you begin to make discoveries of truth that's in the Scripture. And what happens is day after day, just like that mustard seed, it begins to grow just a little bit. It might not be seen tomorrow. It might not be seen next week, just like a seed that's planted. But over time, what's going to happen is you're going to look back and see this incredible amount of growth. You're going to look back and see that God has pulled so much potential out of you. You're going to look back and see how God is using you in ways that you never thought were possible. But it's day after day. It's not looking at the small beginning and getting discouraged and saying, it's just too much. It's just too much. We got a college student. I won't call his name. I didn't ask his permission, so I'm not going to call his name unless it slips out. But I remember the first conversation I had with him after a college night. And he came down front and he was just in tears. And he's like, man, I feel like the Lord's working in my life, but I've got all these issues. I've got all these struggles. And I was able just to encourage him. Just keep walking with the Lord. Get in a group. Find some community. Let us help you find your people to grow with. And then I remember him coming to me, and he's like so excited because he'd signed up to serve and to be a part of helping. And he was so excited, but he was so nervous. He's like, I don't want to screw this up. And then I remember him coming to me another day, and he's like, man, they asked me to be in leadership for college. He said, I don't know if I can do that. I'm like, well, look at the faithfulness of God already in your life. Just keep stepping, keep being planted, keep sowing into your own heart. God's gonna do something amazing through you. Then he comes back to me another day and he's like, I'm about to start leading a connect group and I'm scared to death. And I was so excited for him. And probably over a process of 2 years, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years, I've seen this young man go from someone so broken up here at the front to still not being perfect and still so humble and willing to admit that he's not perfect. But I've watched him grow. I've watched this mustard seed sprout and begin to grow and the fruit beginning to be produced and being produced in his life. So much so that our staff, we love him to death. The people that know him in this church love him to death. To see his excitement for the Lord is inspiring. But the thing about it was, if he just looked at it and he just stood here and he just cried and told me the struggles he was having and he didn't begin to invest because the beginning was so small, he'd be in no different place today than he was a year and a half, 2 years ago. But he started taking one step at a time. He realized this is a daunting book, but he got in community with people. He got into a connect group. And let's be honest, the first time you walk into a connect group, it's pretty intimidating, at least for me. Some of you, you could talk to a telephone pole. Doesn't bother you. I'm not that person. If we see you talking to a telephone pole, we're calling somebody. But the reality of it is, he got in community. Yes, it's intimidating. Look, praying with other people in the beginning is so uncomfortable. But you just take a step into it. And you realize that it's not about these and thous and eloquence. It's talking to God. Here's my challenge. Quit letting fear and laziness keep you from all that God has for you. Quit letting fear and laziness keep you from all that God has for you. God has put things in you that he desires to use in the body of Christ for his kingdom. He has called us as his church to permeate the world with the gospel. And God tells us very clearly that faithfulness with a little leads to being trusted with more. If I'm honest with you, it's challenging to week after week plead with people to press into God, just pleading, press into God. God's got more for you. God's got more purpose for you in his kingdom. God's got more purpose for you in bringing him glory. God's got more purpose for you in your own fulfillment with him. And yet people seeming to either be disinterested, being unwilling, or despising the small beginnings. Because they only see themselves as ordinary. When God sees you as someone who can do unordinary things for the kingdom. Today, my prayer is that you would search your heart. What type of investment are you making into your life? With God's word, with prayer, with community. Not because it's a box to check, but because it's the path, it's the means to experiencing all that God has. There's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. But I'm glad there isn't. Because the true joy is in the journey. The true joy is in the journey with Jesus. And my challenge, my encouragement today is that you would take a step into the Lord today. And tomorrow, you take one more. And the next day, you take one more. And a consistency of investment into your relationship with Jesus will overflow into an investment into the body of Christ. And that will overflow into the world around us. And that will lead to the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So let me pray for us. Father, I thank you today that you desire intimacy with us. God, we look at ourselves and so many times we see such ordinary things. But God, we know that in your hands, ordinary things do extraordinary things, Lord. Lord, if you can take a couple of fish and a handful of bread, and you can feed 5,000, you can feed 4,000, you can do all of this with such an ordinary thing, how much more, God, can you do with us? If we'll trust you, if we'll press into you, Lord, investing time with you, allowing you to invest into us. Thank you, Father, for your call on our lives. Thank you, God, that you see more in us than we see in ourselves. God, I pray that we would delight ourselves in your word and delight ourselves in you. I pray we would not despise small beginnings. And Father, I pray that we would be planted in a community of believers so that the roots of our faith, of our heart, of our life can grow deeply into you. In Jesus' name, amen.